for granted as we follow a pattern of breaking this bread and drinking from the cup. Often we do this without really understanding the true meaning and the importance of the observation. Perhaps it's because we've done it so many times and it becomes routine. We don't want it to become routine. It has a very strong message and a significance. Passover, or the observance of the Last Supper, is important for Christians as well as the Jewish people, because it is a clear and beautiful picture of God's plan of redemption and his eternal purpose for all mankind. He has a plan for us. In Matthew, the 26th chapter, I think that Pastor Richie has read this several times to you, and we've heard it many times. But Jesus said, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body that was broken for you." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I say to you," he said, "I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." We're going to explore this just a little bit to understand what he was talking about. What cup did he say he would not drink from, and a little bit about it. If you see on your bulletin, you get some insight. 4 cups of wine or grape juice was a vital part of the Passover meal, which demonstrated the 4 I wills that God made promises to the people of the children of Israel in Exodus, the 6th chapter. In the 6th chapter, in the 6th verse, he said, "I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under bondage, the burdens of the Egyptians." Okay, we can apply that to our lives. He said to the Egyptians, "This is my promise to you. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." And then he went on in the 6th verse and said, "I will deliver you from their bondage." Not just the burdens, but the bondage, all kinds of bondage. "I will," he said, "also redeem you with an outstretched arm, with great judgments." He was said, "Whatever it takes, I will redeem you." And he said, then in the 7th verse, he went on and he said, "I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." How beautiful that is. He said, "I'll bring you out from under the burdens," and then he says, "I will rescue you from their bondage." We can apply that to our lives today. Satan's bondage and the burdens and the things he brings in our lives, it applies to us. He said, "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." And then he goes on and he says, "I will take you as my people, and I will be your God." Together, these promises comprise a step-by-step memorial of the great event of deliverance from Egyptian bondage and the anticipation of one event yet to come. 4 cups represented these promises. The first cup is the cup of sanctification. This cup was drunk early in the meal. At the beginning of the meal, they drank this cup. It means to be set apart. God selected and set his people apart by giving them his commandments. The Lord says that if we love him, we keep his commandments. We hold them dear. And so sanctification is one of the very first things that God does in our lives. And that is his promise. This cup was drunk early in the meal. The second cup is a cup of praise. This cup was drunk with a prayer of praise to God for being the constant source of deliverance from every oppression and every enemy. God drank this cup. This is the cup that they reminisced, and they remembered the bondage. They had been oppressed, there were different nations that had oppressed them. And God said that this cup was the cup of to praise him, to reminisce and remember what he's brought us from. Jesus, here Bob says, it's the cup of wrath that was poured out. We don't have to drink that wrath because Jesus took it for us. But we remember what he did, and we give praise for the deliverance in our lives. We sang that song this morning. Says, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I don't look back on the past. I'm free from it because Jesus took it for me. The third cup is a cup of redemption and salvation. This cup was drunk after the meal and after the aphikomen. And I may not pronounce it exactly correctly, but after that was found. Now, this is unleavened bread or matzah that was separated by thirds. It was perforated and yet still connected in one piece. Isn't that interesting? Some people see the three pieces of matzah as a representation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, this matzah. And yet they're perforated, they're all three together, but yet they're one piece. After the meal, the matzah was broken apart and placed in a pouch with three pockets. The matzah in the middle pocket was secretly removed and wrapped in a clean linen cloth. It was hidden for the children to find later after the Passover meal. Isn't that interesting? Jesus' body was also wrapped in a linen cloth. And Jesus is the middle person. How is it? He acts as the middleman, as his priestly office to mediate between God and people. You cannot go directly to God. You have to go through Jesus. As Pastor Richie was saying earlier, there is no other way. Some people think it's through their good works or their good behavior, something that they have done that will give them a connection to God. But it does not work that way. We have one who mediates, and his name is Jesus. He connects us to God. How blessed we are. Because before Jesus came to earth to die for us, Job expressed in his despair, in Job the 9th chapter, he said, if only, this is a couple thousand years before Jesus came, he expressed, if only there were someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together. He's talking about him and God. He said, he doesn't understand, I can't connect. Someone to remove God's rod from me, so that his terror would frighten me no more. Then I would speak up without fear of him, but as it now stands with me, I cannot. We know that the description of Job in the Bible was that he was a perfect man, and yet he says, I cannot connect with God. Oh, if only there were a daysman, somebody who could connect me. Job defines a mediator as someone who lays one hand on one party and another hand on the other party. If there is one mediator who can identify with both parties, a third party is completely unnecessary. We just need that mediator. Job knew that. He recognized that. We do not need a mediator between Jesus Christ and us. We have that connection because of his death on the cross. We can go directly to him, and his Holy Spirit leads us. Jesus made intercession once and for all time by offering up his own body to be broken, like the matzah. He told his disciples at the Passover meal, in Luke the 22nd chapter, he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Like the aphikomen, Jesus' body would not only be broken, but also be wrapped in linen, hidden away for 3 days, and discovered later he had been resurrected. He was resurrected. Jesus declared in John the 6th chapter, verse 48, he said, I am the bread of life. This is before he was crucified. He said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said in the 6th chapter, in the 51st verse, he said, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. He was foretelling that he would die on the cross. His body would be broken. It would be flogged. It would be broken for us. And he said, when you receive that as your salvation, you receive life, eternal life. The cup of redemption referred to slaves being purchased and liberated. You perhaps have seen movies or a movie where somebody goes in and they see the slave market, and on this pedestal they have the slaves up there, and there is a lot of truth to what has happened in the past, and God forgive us for some of the sins, the sin of that operation. And a man would step up and say, I'll buy this slave, and then he would liberate that person. That's what Jesus did for us. We were being auctioned off. The price was cheap. Dollar, like the poem we read, there nobody sees any value in the brokenness of our lives. And Jesus said, I will purchase this person, and I will redeem him, and I'll set him free. He sets us free from the slavery of sin. And so God delivered the Egyptians from the physical hardships of slavery, and also from the exposure to false gods. God doesn't want us to be even exposed to that false doctrine that goes around in our schools and in the places of business and on the internet and all of that. He said, I'm going to deliver you from that. Your children will no longer be forced to adhere to the worship practices of a pagan culture. This third cup is the same cup Jesus took after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. This third cup is the cup of salvation, of redemption. The cup of redemption symbolizes what Jesus did for us. He shed his blood to redeem us from slavery to sin. That is the cup that we receive. We do not take the cup of his wrath. He's already paid that. He drank that cup. We talked about how he said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. He drank that cup for us. We don't drink that. But the cup of his redemption is the cup that we want to participate and we want to take. He said, indeed, Paul, the apostle said in 1 Corinthians, he wrote, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The fourth cup is the cup referred to as the cup of God's presence. What a beautiful cup that I would love to drink from. Don't you love to be in the presence of God? Have you ever been in the place where the presence of God was so spectacular that you felt like you could no longer stand? I have. I have been where I got on my face on the floor and I said, oh, I cannot contain this presence. It's so magnificent, so wonderful. Well, this cup is going to be the cup of God's presence. And it was received near the end of the dinner. And it is also called the cup of acceptance and the cup of anticipation. This cup is a cup of God has accepted us. And we anticipate a beautiful event that celebrates the relationship God desires with his people. God created Adam and Eve and he put them in a perfect garden. But they sinned and he wants that relationship restored. God said, I will take you for my people and I will be your God. Wouldn't you love to know that he takes you for his child? You say, well, how can he take me and I'm the only one? It's that way. Everybody, you're the only one. You are in his arms. You're the only one. And you say, but there are millions of people. He has arms that embrace each of us. This fourth cup is not mentioned by any of the gospel writers, interestingly, probably, because Jesus did not drink it at the last Passover meal. What did he say? He said in Matthew, the 26th chapter, he said, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on till that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He's looking forward to a special day when we will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and he will drink that cup with us then, because we're going to have that special acceptance and that union and that special presence of God, and he's going to embrace us. And Mark as well, he says, I'll never drink again from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Sometimes we think that that was just the cup of communion, that first cup. He was talking about that fourth cup. At the end of the meal, he said, I cannot drink it until one day I will drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus no doubt abstained from drinking the fourth cup, the cup of God's presence, at the last Passover, because the true gathering to come in the kingdom of God is when we will dine with Jesus in the very presence of God himself. I hear, and I know that there is a hell. Jesus talked about hell, and there is a hell for those who reject Jesus Christ. Jesus will judge that he's paid the price for us to receive him. But I cannot think of any torment that is greater than being separated from the presence of God. Yes, there are physical pain and other pain, but to be separated from God's presence is the greatest penalty that anybody can receive, I believe. And in Revelation, the 19th chapter, verse 9, John wrote, the Apostle John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he wrote, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I am invited. You are invited if you have received the blood of Jesus. You are invited. And he said to me, these are true words of God. Some people doubt it and they say, well, I don't know if I'm really saved. I don't know if I'm really good enough. You can never be good enough. You don't have enough goodness in you to be good enough to receive that special gift. God gave his Son, Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus makes us righteous. He took our sins and he gave us his righteousness. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're looking at his death and we're magnifying and glorifying and thanking him for what he did on the cross of Calvary. But he said, and he says, until he comes. You notice that? You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus is coming to take us back. Then that cup is no longer necessary. There is a day in the future when the Lord will descend from heaven to gather his saints, both the living and those in the grave. The living and those in the grave. Those of us who have been saved by the blood of Jesus, he is the true Passover lamb. We have his blood applied on the doorposts of our hearts. And we have an appointment with Jesus Christ on that glorious day when we will sit down to drink the fourth cup, the cup of the presence of God. I want to experience that presence like I have just a bit. I have said before that my husband, when he was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he said, I just feel like if I had any more of God, my body would explode. It could not contain it. And our mortal bodies cannot contain the presence of God. It is true. We have to be changed. We have to be transformed. As we observe communion, let us always remember Jesus' words that we are proclaiming his death until he comes. And then we're looking forward to the day that we will feast with him in the Father's kingdom. Don't you look forward to that day? I want to sit just as close to him as I can. And I'm sure that you do too. I want to know the presence of God. John wrote in Revelation, the 21st chapter, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. That's where he wants to be, is among us. And he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. There's coming a day, it says, that he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. You and I have had many tears, tears of loss, tears of anguish, tears of pain, tears of disappointment, tears of rejection. He said he's going to wipe away every tear, and there shall no longer be any death. There will be no death. We can live forever. There shall no longer be any mourning. There won't be any crying or pain. The first things have passed away. The former things that we have been are no longer the same. When we receive that new body and we are in the presence of God and drinking of that fourth cup. I just wanted to share with you about the communion so that you understand that we're not only, when we receive communion, we are not only looking to the cross, the death of Jesus. We do that. And we give praise and honor and thanksgiving that he took that cup of wrath. He drank it for us. He said, I don't want to drink it, but if this is the only way, and he drank it for you and for me, we don't drink that cup anymore. We don't, I know that people sometimes say, oh, God, I'm afraid of God. He's mad at me. No, he hates sin. He doesn't hate you. He hates sin because sin destroys your life. Don't you hate the things that destroy a person's life? I had a little grandson the other day that was exposed to something that saw somebody who was messing with drugs. And he declared, he's 8, 9 years old, and he said, I hate drugs. I hate drugs because of what it does to people. And I thought, that is exactly right. God hates sin because of what it does to his precious creation, to us. And so today, when we receive communion, we are so thankful that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins and that we look forward to the day there is a cup that we're going to receive as we are in his presence, the very presence of God. We're going to drink from that cup as we have his presence just fill our hearts and our lives. Today, if you are watching this broadcast, and maybe even if you're here in the congregation, if you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you have not understood that if his blood can cleanse you from every sin, and he can give you his righteousness, I want you to understand that all you have to do is receive it. You don't have to do any. Some people think they have to get ready to receive God. They have to purge themselves of these things. And I'm not saying we shouldn't lay aside the works of the flesh, but let Jesus come into your life. Your life will be changed. The old will pass away, and all things will become new. I encourage you today, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ, that you will pray this prayer with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. I thank you, Jesus, that you paid the penalty for my forgiveness, for my sins. I thank you that you drank that cup, that I no longer have to drink the cup of your wrath. I thank you that you have given us a promise that one day we will be in your presence, and what a wonderful thing it will be to be in your presence, and we will drink that cup at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I pray, O God, that you will forgive me of my sins, that you will make me a new person. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen. We thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church, and we encourage you to just read your Bible. Learn about the things that God wants you. He gave you his word so you can know about him. Have a blessed week. Okay, is there anyone before we are dismissed that you have something you want us to pray specifically about that perhaps we have not mentioned earlier? Or you have something you would like to add, something you want to say, so all hearts are clear. I really do want us to continue to pray for those that we lifted up today. They really need our prayers. I talked to Darla Daywalt a couple of weeks ago, and we need to pray for her. She's been very sick, and she asked that we pray for her. And so anybody in the body of Christ, whether they are part, if this local congregation, they're part of the Church of God, the Church of Jesus Christ. And a lot of churches have put that name on their denomination or their organization, but I'm talking about the body of Christ, those that have received Him. We need to lift them up. You know, sometimes